Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully you guys are along for the ride for the duration. From 1 o'clock till 4, we will take you through sports and a whole lot more. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, live from the Gow Media Studios, our last day of the week in studio.
Yeah.
As tomorrow we truck to the Golden Triangle, the B-Town, to Beaumont and Luke's Ice House.
I know the drive isn't ideal, but I love going out there.
The people are fantastic.
Yep. It is a lot of fun to get out there and hang with the folks. They come up, they give us a hard time, which is what we like. To a certain degree, we have a good time.
They also check in and tell us how we get prioritized over their wife, and their wife hates it.
Yeah.
We get great stories from a lot of loyal listeners. And like
love
I said,
getting
if we
out
had,
there.
If we had monitors and we had people that counted in the Houston DMA for ratings in Beaumont, oh my God, we know that the 409
are
suspects. It's great to have the 409. So it'll be always good to get down there and spend a Friday afternoon at Luke's Ice House. So we're looking forward to that. And hopefully the weather's going to be better this time than last time. Because last time was a little chilly.
Yeah. It seems like we only go out there in the winter, but I guess that's just during football season. That's by design.
And that was a toots and stoots that last time, too. Yeah, you were out of town, and Cody had to bundle up and sit under the heater.
Yeah, but I recall being out there when it was cold. So, yeah.
And the Nick Sciarra fan club is always there.
Love Luke's. I haven't been there in, over a year now. It's been a year. So I want to go just to check out the food and the spot. But
you want me to stay back and produce the show?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
So I can get some of that food.
I will do the potting of the mics and the clicking of the buttons and the coordination of the show and the wrangling of the idiot hosts.
That won't happen. They, you're the star. They need you out there. And besides, I don't trust you on this board. You're not touching my board.
I would screw it up so bad. I would.
Can't trust you with this IT guy.
I joked about learning the boards one time, but I literally hit the space bar to run traffic. That was my foray into producing. John was like, I don't have anybody to run traffic on. I think this was back when 1560 was still around. Can you run traffic on 1560? I was like, yeah, how hard is it? He was like, Trey can show you. And I was like, oh, so that's easy. No, it wasn't Trey. I don't remember who it was that showed me, but literally it was like, just watch this countdown. Oh, Michael Carroll showed me. It was like, you watch this countdown to one and then hit the space bar and that runs the traffic. Yeah. I was like, that's all there is to producing?
Intricate stuff. Yeah. I'm telling
it's
you.
Definitely not
no,
all there. I'm
that's
being
why
facetious.
I sit in with that's Nick. I need to learn the space bar. It's puzzling to me.
I don't get it. By the way, Juggalo Trey put a picture of his cat on Instagram. Don't make it dirty either. His kitty cat, his meow meow cat.
Okay.
And a cute cat. And then I saw somebody like, so you had tweeted about a dog that went crazy for its owner who got back from being overseas serving.
Yeah, lady
was it
in the
Afghanistan
military.
Or something like that? And Joel's like, the dogs are the best. And I've never not said that.
Right.
I've always agreed that dogs are awesome. I want a dog. As soon as this old-ass cat dies, I'm getting a dog. But somebody's like, oh, I can't believe Barry likes cats more than dogs. I can like both, right? Like, it's okay? Is that not allowed? I know that there's this machismo around You have to like a dog as a dude because liking a cat would be silly.
You're such a... what I'm saying is that, the biggest thing is you're an animal. If you're an animal lover, you're an animal lover.
Exactly. You hate cats, though, so you're not technically an animal lover.
I don't hate them. I've been allergic to them since I've been little.
You're a liar.
That's absolutely a fact.
Is it really?
Yeah.
What else are you allergic to?
Dust, mold...
I'm bringing a bag of dust. I'm going to bring a bag of dust and a bag of hay fever.
And I will fondle your lettuce, pal.
I'm going to bring a bag of hay fever. I don't even know if that's a thing.
But yeah, I mean, cats, I've for some reason, and thank God, I used to be dogs too, and I outgrew it. And now I have no choice because I'm outnumbered in my own household by dogs. So, but yeah, I saw that last night too. And I was like, well, we both had our little fun with
So you've with never owned a cat?
No. I've had lots of friends and relatives that have cats, but we've never owned a cat. Couldn't have a dog.
Oh, yeah, multiple.
I couldn't have a dog till I got to college.
Why?
Because I was allergic to dogs, dog hair and cat hair and pet dander and all that stuff when I was a kid, and I kind of outgrew a lot of it. Yeah.
Were you the kid that had the inhaler all the time?
I lived in a bubble.
I was going to say,
it was a great bounce house. That's how I made friends. My first date was the chick down the block, and I said, you want to come in my bubble and play on the bounce house? She didn't know what that meant. Neither did I, but it was great. It worked out.
Neither did I.
At the time, I didn't, but in college, it didn't work quite the same way.
That's wild, dude.
Bubble in my dorm room took up too much space.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I started to build up my immune system.
So you're good now, though. You can be around. Obviously, you have 50-11 dogs, and so you can be around them with no problem.
Yeah.
That's good.
The other thing, too, with the dogs, though, that's pissing me off is we got our tree, and we put it up, and it's got lights on it. We just hadn't put the ornaments on. And Lisa, I brought all the ornaments down, and she had laid a couple on the coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
We used to worry about Taylor when she first started walking. Like, she's going to grab the tree. She's going to grab the ornaments. Now she wants to hang them, and she knows once they're on, you don't touch them. Freaking three-legged one-eyed dog thinks everything's a damn toy. I'm like, Lisa, we're gonna have ornaments from like the middle point up, because anything below that and freaking pogo stick is gonna go and have a freaking chew toy.
I live by one simple rule: never trust a three-legged dog. This is the only rule in my life that I have.
Three-legged one-eyed dog.
Oh, he's got one eye. That's right. Yeah, never trust
a guy's a soldier, honestly.
He's a pirate is what he is. He has a patch and a wooden leg.
That's the thing. You get mad at him, but you can't get too mad at him because, one, he's not even two yet. So you realize he's growing up. And when he gets to a certain age, they stop doing a lot of that stuff. But the other thing is we took him to the vet for just some, like, for a simple grooming or something like that. And the vet's tech started looking at him. And we didn't know a lot of things because we rescued him from the third ward. And so we weren't asking a lot of questions. We just wanted to make sure he was safe. And the vet starts coming out going, now you realize that the person that had him didn't like him because his tail is broken in three spots.
What? I didn't know you could break a tail.
Yeah, broken in three spots. So it's long, and by the way, and all the other dogs hate it because when he's excited, I mean, it's like a drumstick flying around. And they all like do the wincing face, like they don't want to get hit in the face with the drumstick.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I had said all along that he has one eye because in the third ward especially, they want dogs that they can breed and then sell the puppies. So the females are very highly regarded, and the males are not.
Okay.
So if you guys remember, he has three legs because he was a male, and the owners were kicking him enough to where the leg broke several times to the point it wouldn't grow back anymore. So we had to raise the money for the amputee.
Damn.
I also said all along the eye was part of that too. They thought it was genetic. They went back and checked, and the vet came up to us and realized and said, no, his eye at one point was great, but that they were poking the dog and basically, again, because he wasn't a female.
Man, that sucks.
So that's why you get mad at him, but at the same time, then I got to catch myself and go, but you know what? One, you are
in
one hell of a good spot now, but yeah, you had to endure quite a bit.
Man.
Yeah. That's tough.
Like, I take him to the football field with the pit bull, with the black and white pit bull, Nick, with Buddy, and because Buddy is athletic. He can go 100 yards at a time chasing the ball, and he, with three legs, he's trailing, but he follows Buddy around. He gets a workout in. I'm like, man, that makes me so happy to see them get out and have some fun.
That's dope.
Because we were gonna end up finding a home for him. Because, again, he was kind of a handful early on, especially. But he's taken so much to one of our other dogs, and he's so comfortable. It's like, you could give him away, and if they didn't give him the right treatment, it would piss me off. So I couldn't do it. I actually thought about bringing him
softy.
In one or two times, and I was like, I don't know how Barry really wants a dog in the studio.
I wouldn't care. Honest to God, I'd mess with you. Now, if you brought all five of them and a kid, I would be like, nope.
I just want Taylor.
Pick one. You can bring Taylor. She's a sweetie. I want Taylor to
come on the microphone, and I want to just go, Daddy, I have to brush my teeth.
I sent
Nick the audio one day because Lisa's like, don't you ever put that up for me. Yeah, and she still says it. Last night, she's getting ready for bed.
Nora does that sometimes.
I was like, man, if I put you in the studio and you said brush my teeth, it would go over.
Nora does that. It's crazy. Oh, yeah. She says that. It's wild. Like, what?
But she's obviously not using Granado's toothbrush.
Hey, real quick, I just want to give us...
Did you hear those commercials?
I bought her one of those. She has a Quip.
It's actually literally timed, so it tells you how long you need to brush.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
It's dope. I bought her one, man. She loves it. But I want to give a shout-out real quick to Jerry Bowe. That dude is just not getting enough love on his picks. He is killing the game. I was looking at his Twitter last night.
Yeah.
He is absolutely murdering picks on a daily basis.
Yeah, he's making it rain for a lot of people.
And
now.
Then, that's the thing. People don't appreciate him
show
enough.
Show him some love. If the dude is making you money, maybe tip him a little bit.
Yeah.
Huh? Maybe throw him a bone if you're going to just pilfer his picks.
If you were going to pick your own games and not make as much, don't you think it's worth helping out the guy that's helping the helper and helping you out?
Shout out to my dude, though, man. He is just killing it. When it comes to picking games, couldn't be a better dude either.
Yep. So that always is good.
So shout out.
All right, just getting started. HR&P listener line wide open right now. It normally starts filling up. 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number as we are always checking that. And also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. That always means for you fantasy footballers, the legend, the man, Sigmund Bloom will join us at 2:30. You know how we do it around here? Right before the 2:30 segment begins is when you should start to call. We take callers first. They get top priority. And then if you don't have time to call but you want to try and get a question in for Sigmund, you can text us or tweet us. Tweet to Barry because Barry's the one that kind of keeps him ready to rack them, stack them, and blow and go when he gets them to organize everything. So at Barry is funny for the tweets. Otherwise, text us to the 713-780-3776, and we'll get as many questions to Sigmund as possible in that 2:30 segment.
Indeed. And then we got a couple of tweets to get out of the way before we move forward. Blake Adams tweeted at us. I was talking about the Astros going after A.J. Pollock. Yeah, we mentioned yesterday they're going after three outfielders. As one of the rumors on MLB Rumors was Pollock, Brantley, and Andrew McCutchen.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about the fact that you really like Brantley as an option for them. And Pollock, I think, is the best of those three, but he comes with the heftiest price tag. And then Blake Adams mentioned that he's looking to get $80 million, which I hadn't heard yet. But I do know that they would have to match. They would have to pay the qualifying offer at $18 million. Then you got to figure out if you're going to work with the guy and give him what he wants, which in this case is $80 million. That's a lot of money. Then you got to give up your second highest draft pick and not to mention the $500K in the international pool. It's a lot of money for a dude that, I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's the best of those three by far, I think.
Center fielder, too, though.
Yeah, well, and it gives you a ton of diversity, though. Because now you've got basically, with Reddick, you got a guy that can play either corner. Mm-hmm. With Springer, you got a guy that can play center or right. And, I mean, if you had to, he could play left. Yeah. But then you've got Pollock, who could also play probably any of those three positions on the field with no problem.
And to your point, though, with everything that they have on the horizon in terms of contracts and money and what they're going to have to do, I don't think they're going to overspend to get an extra outfielder when they know that obviously starting pitching is a priority and re-signing their own with two starters coming up in Verlander and Cole. And then after that, you've got the rest of the core four that has to be taken care of if you're going to try and keep all three of the remaining guys, Correa, Bregman, and Springer. So
yeah, but I mean, he's good. I just don't know if he's $80 million good.
I agree. I totally agree with that. But again, like guys like Corbin, it's just timing is of the – timing can be so beautiful for the player. Like if you get hot and have a great year at the right time,
yeah.
Like the numbers that they're throwing around for those two guys – it's just astronomical. 2 years ago, you wouldn't have thought that either guy was going to sniff $100 million. But 80 to 100 million is what each guy is probably going to end up with. And you're like, that's life-changing, game-changing, deal of a lifetime stuff.
Put it this way, in his years of arbitration and whatnot, he made $3.5 million, $6.7 and $7.7.
There you go.
And now he's going to get a, if the qualifying offer gets matched by
Pollock,
whoever.
Right?
Yeah, Pollock. Yeah. Then he's going to get a $10 million bump for the 1 year for the qualifying offer. And then you're going to go out and give him $80 million. I mean,
and look
to me,
at Corbin.
He's a $10 million
a
year guy, though. So if you want to sign him for $50 million over 5 years and whatnot, okay. I could see that. But he's also 30.
Yeah.
So I get what he's doing. He's paid his dues. He's wanting to get his
payday.
You got
to max out when you can.
Yeah.
It's like Trevor Ariza, 1 year and 15 mil. If you get a chance to get 15 for a year, you got to take it. Doesn't matter how bad the team is. And so when you look at a guy like Corbin, too, Corbin was not a guy that was going to be talked about in the same breath as Cy Young Award winners and big-time pitchers in baseball. But you have a good year at the right time.
Yep.
And people take notice. And the Yankees are interested. That always helps.
Oh, that always helps.
And now you're
helps.
Looking at 100 mil.
Yep.
I'll take 100 mil walk and give you my best shot. I mean, you would, anybody would.
A mill.
Yeah, no doubt. About?
I would take a mill. Although, can you really, like, is that enough nowadays? $1 million?
You have to be smart, though. You can't just, you can't be average smart. You have to be smart.
20 years ago, 30 years ago, if someone gives you $1 million, you're set. You feel like you're set.
True.
Now you're like, okay, I could live modestly probably for the rest of my life on $1 million, but it's just not the same. I don't.
Plus taxes and you got to.
Yeah. But, man, I don't know.
I mean, I could live pretty cheap and have fun, but I don't know. $1 million, it's,
yeah, but you
it's,
can't
think
be
about
like,
this, though. You'd be a millionaire living in a, like, maybe a nice apartment or maybe, a, you know, just a modest house. Yeah, something like that, because you gotta manage it. If you buy something, you got to pay property taxes on it every year.
Yep.
Now, granted, the value is going up, but if you're just waiting this out till you die on your million, you don't care that your home is accruing value.
If you're just staying here. And you're inside the loop, and you want to stay in Houston, Texas. If you buy a townhouse outright, you're talking about between $300,000 and $450,000.
But then you still have to pay taxes.
That's what I'm saying. So then, and then you got to factor that in. So $1 million isn't going as long as then. So every year, annually, even if you go through the whole mill and all the things you want to buy and take care of, get a car, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you ain't taking trips or none of that.
Nope.
You got to get you like
you can't live that lavish lifestyle.
That's Honda Accord money.
Just wrote a check for my property taxes, punk bitches. I want that money back, dude. I want that money back.
What pisses you off the most about paying property taxes?
I hate writing
the
check. I hate writing the check.
At least they didn't rub you the
wrong way. Oh, I hate writing the check.
How much of it was school taxes? Do you know, like, the percentage?
I really don't.
That's painful.
Of course, they know exactly how much.
Where I live, that is painful.
Our house goes up and value
each year. By the way, you know you can protest that, right?
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
I've tried.
So you can protest your property taxes by telling them, look, so it's super easy because I used to be a realtor. And you basically pull comps in your neighborhood for what the houses have sold for. So you just find, like, I'll just use round numbers. Let's say you live in a three-bedroom, two-bath house, right? And they're saying, oh, your house is worth $100,000. And you pull comps to see what of all the three-bedroom, two-bath houses in my neighborhood sold for over the last 6 months or a year. And they're all selling for 80 or 90, then you say, no, my house is worth 80 to 90, not 100, because this is what it's selling for.
Wow.
And then they go in, so then they lower the value of your property. But you have to protest it, and you have to file it. You have to get the protest in by a certain time, like May, I think it is. I think it's different for every county, but you got to get it in by May. But
hate this time
most
of
the time, they'll try to give you the runaround, but a lot of times they won't even argue with you. As soon as you go in to protest it, they're like, oh, it's kind of almost like a speeding ticket. If you just show up, then they're like, yeah, okay, dismissed.
I wish I asked you last week, man, because
I get screwed.
I hate it, though, because of the school taxes.
Yes, I get hammered. That's why I hate
it. But you have a kid. I would get it.
But she's not in school yet.
But it doesn't matter. She's going to benefit from those schools.
I don't think
as
you realize it,
up.
Barry. Still, by the end of the day, when I look at that bill, hammer them! They hammer me! And it's not $17.86.
Great.
It is a large amount of money.
Okay. So, but at least your kid, at some point, can use your tax dollars by going to all of those schools. The elementary school.
Your cats can do the same thing.
My cats are not
going. Your cats
can
get edumacated.
Expensive-ass schools that they're building. And not only are they do I have to pay school taxes for kids that aren't mine, because I don't have kids. But then, like, they built a new high school on 99 right near our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's ridiculous. Not only it's huge, and they're like, oh, it's state of the art. Who cares? I don't want them. I don't want to pay for state of the art. I want the just. Half of these kids are dumbasses anyways. Just go, let them go in there. They're gonna flunk. They're gonna get held back. I don't care about that, man. I know education is important and it's supposedly a benefit to our society as a whole. But do we need that fancy of a school for kids to learn? I don't know.
Well, and then here's the other thing: when you don't plan ahead, and
also
you,
I probably would be different if I had kids. I would feel way different. About
I don't
all this.
Yet. Maybe later. Don't. Maybe when she gets older, but not now. But the other thing is to think ahead a little bit because Lisa's all into this too because obviously it's a news story now. But you go and you start construction on this major high school. That's going to be for with a specialized skill sets for kids and everything like that. And then they start the construction. They start bringing in all the everything. They start clearing the land. Then they found out it was a burial ground for African Americans and possible slaves from back in the day.
Oh, I remember that.
It's still
I remember
going
that.
On. It's still going on. And I remember because Lisa and I drive. There's a Starbucks back in there. And we look. Oh, look. There's a small little cemetery that they have fenced off and you can tell it's been there a long time. And we're like, I wonder who's buried there. We should look at that someday. And then all of a sudden you realize like 100 yards behind that is the back part of the high school where they found all these remains and all this other stuff. Man. And you're like, you ain't building that high school there, nope. folks. As much as you think you're going to get this thing passed through, you ain't doing that.
Dude, did you see this tweet from Mac Daddy? Mm-mm. He tagged both of y'all on it with me. Said, all I wanted was a cheese Danish from, I'm not going to say who.
A place.
A coffee place.
Okay.
Based out of Seattle.
Ah.
Where they you spend a lot of bucks. And instead, they decided to go up and go above and beyond and gave me a slightly used contact lens. And there's a picture of his Danish with a contact lens stuck to the cheese Danish. So many questions.
How gross is that for you as on a scale of like 1 to 10?
I'm literally choking back vomit in my mouth right now.
On a scale of baby with their shoes on the table at a restaurant or contact lens and a cheese Danish, which worse?
Contact lens and a cheese Danish. Because as one pretty smart listener pointed out yesterday, you don't have to eat off the table, dumbass. I don't know. I got two dumbass texts yesterday. Two people calling me a dumbass.
That's light.
It's a.
I took the over. I took the over. I lost yesterday. Now.
Also, look, I'm not saying it's not appropriate, but you don't have to name call. I'm not saying you're not right. I'm just saying you don't have to name call. But,
A contact lens on a Danish, though. That is not right.
How do you not know your contact lens fell out? Now, granted, I did get drunk a couple weeks ago, and like I said, I spent 30 minutes taking out my contacts,
and
I don't wear contacts. But how do you not? I feel like I would know. I wore contacts at one point. I feel like I would know if it fell out onto a Danish in the middle of my job.
It's messed up, Starbucks. That's, trying to give everybody pink eye of the mouth.
Why did you say the name?
Don't just go green. Go mean. You just killed Starbucks.
I just said it was a Seattle-based coffee company where you spend a lot of bucks.
My bad. That's totally my bad. But you know what? That is pretty disgusting.
Don't just go green, but gross. Go mean. Nick just brought hammered him. Dude, we're hammering everybody today.
I'm telling you. And Aaron's fetus is on a roll on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Was that funny?
He said, I told my wife our first child would outgrow his peanut allergy. I miss that little guy.
That was the best tweet of the day.
And then Mac, he followed that up with the tax department had my 3-car garage as a 2-car garage, and then they were taxing me on the difference as living space. Boy, that would piss me off too.
Yeah, I used to fight it. I could fight it, and you could, like you said, you could win, and it could take. My neighbor was big on it. He's like, just come with me and go at the same time.
There's people that'll do it for you.
After a while, they started getting hip to it, and they wanted to draw out the proceedings at the court. And I'm like, nah, I ain't doing it.
They will do that as well. They will try to draw it out on you. But whatever. You know what was not going to draw stuff out on you? Specifically your money? My bookie. Then when you try to get paid, they're not drawing it out on you. Then when you get paid at my bookie, they pay you when you win. That's what I love about that place, man. Mybookie.ag is the place to get online action on any game out there that you can even bet. Canadian football, horse racing. Remember they had the deal with Raheel. They've got all kinds of stuff you can bet on, man. And you can even bet the fantasy points on a football player, the over-under on fantasy points each game. So it's super cool. Check that out, man. Mybookie.ag is the place to be. Get online, get signed up. And the cool thing is when you sign up right now, they will match your first deposit 50%. So you put in $500, they're going to match it with 250 bonus bucks, extra dollars in your account. Just use promo code radio to get that done. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been around for years. You hear me talk about it. You hear Fred talk about it. A lot of folks at the station use it. Why aren't you using it? Get on that train, man. And we just talked about Jerry Bow. Look, we got it all hooked up for you. I'm going to get you $250 on a $500 deposit or half back, whatever it is you want to deposit. Then you hit up Jerry Bow and then maybe give him a nice tip when you start winning all that money and start getting paid on MyBookie. And they've also got all kind of cool, like, in-game live betting. You can do. They've got player perks for you. So the more you play, the more rewarding stuff that they have available to you. So check them out again, MyBookie.ag. Remember, promo code radio is that 50% match on your first deposit. It's promo code radio, MYBookie. B-O-O-K-I-E, if you want to Google them, mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Again, reminder, Sigmund Bloom, 2:30, fantasy football questions. If you're going to call right before 2:30. If you're going to text or tweet, do it now. We can organize them and get them ready to go for you because obviously playoffs are around the corner in fantasy, and you guys are knee-deep in probably some tight races unless you're the a-hole that called last week that wanted to talk about
buffing
how good he was.
Chest.
And at that point, we're going to be quick on the speed button to make you look like an idiot if you do that again.
Somebody said getting a dog might expedite the process of your old cat dying. I didn't think about that.
They don't get along, yeah.
I feel like that would be mean, though. Don't you?
Don't
get me started. To a 19-year-old cat?
You know who I'm married to.
Buddy the truck driver wants you to tweet a picture of your three-legged dog. Your three-legged, one-eyed, lucky dog.
I can do that.
Pirate dog. I think he's done that already.
I have done it in the past, but I can do it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tweet another picture for the people. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. Go check him out.
Working on that right now.
Last night, I said something that I think a lot of people thought me crazy.
I noticed it.
You noticed it? Did you think me crazy?
No, I've
me already thinks you're crazy.
Yeah, I've learned over time that I just will wait for you to give me the backstory
all over my idea.
Why you believe that, and then we'll go from there.
So last night, I sat down and committed to watching a Rocket game. No. Like, full on, no distractions, watching a Rocket.
Wow. Boy, you picked the wrong game.
Because I'll have them on, and I'll watch them in spurts, but I can admit that it's such a bad product on the court right now that I will be easily I will be easily distracted. So, but watching them last night, it was obvious to me that this team misses Tarik Black.
Okay.
Why did you laugh, like, right away?
I'm only laughing at Nick's laughing.
You just
I wasn't
laughed.
Laughing at
that. Was a bit disrespectful, but I didn't know that my mic was on. That was my bad.
I
meant to turn my mic off before I left.
You haven't even heard my case yet, Judge Nicholas, and you're already dismissing me from the courtroom?
My bad.
It was very disrespectful.
Not even I would do that. I'm open to listening to the facts behind it before I pass judgment.
But I say that because basically the real premise is that's the hook. That's to get you guys in. But the real hook is this is just not a deep team, and I think that's obvious. This is the last year's Rockets went 9 deep. This year's team goes 6 deep. And if you want to tell me that Gary Clark and Gerald Green could be added to that depth to go 8 deep, I would probably disagree with you. They played good in spurts, but overall, they're not playing that great. And you can't rely on them. So they're 6 deep right now, which is why everybody last night post-game was bitching about minutes. Because this is just not a deep team. But you look at it and you think, I bet it's because they really miss Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute. And that seems to be the narrative around the city is, D'Antoni mentioned it last night. Losing those two guys is critical. It's critical because you have young guys, yes. But believe it or not, James Ennis is actually putting up numbers comparable and equivalent to Trevor Ariza and or Luke Mbamute. The problem is, you're missing both of those guys, and you've only got one guy to replace him. So just real quick, like from a numbers perspective, Ariza last year, 3-point percentage was 36.8. He shot 36.8 from three. Ennis is shooting 39.1%. So he's actually making more. He's just getting less shots per 36 minutes than. But that goes to my Tarik Black point, which I'll make in a second. Also, like rebounds, it's close, 3.3 to 4.7. Steals is the same at 1.5 and 1.6. Points per game is pretty much the same. So what you've done is you've replaced Trevor Ariza with Ennis with no drop off. What you haven't replaced is Luke and Bamute. What you also haven't replaced is Tarik Black. And I know that sounds crazy, but the problem with this team is that once Capella comes off the floor, they have absolutely nothing down low. They have no rim protector. Defensively, they're way worse, which causes, you know, guys like PJ Tucker to have to play the four and have to pick up some of that slack. Where in the past, Nene, when he was healthy, would play, and he'll come back and he'll help this team. But right now, you've got guys like Hartenstein and
Clark and House.
Gary Clark. And these guys just aren't cutting it. I mean, their numbers just aren't even close to what Tarik Black was putting up last year. And here's the numbers for Tarik Black. For a per 36 minutes in a game, he was pulling down almost 11 rebounds per 36 minutes with his time on the floor. Now, he played 10 minutes, but that was in a backup role. You want Capella out there most of the time. His per 36 was 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 12 points a game. That's legit depth at the center position.
Come on, man. Those minutes were in garbage time when he did play.
He played in 52 games. That's not garbage time. You don't play in garbage time in 52 games.
It was a 65-win team where they were blowing people out
a lot. He played more minutes than Nene did.
But Nene's always hurt.
But who else? Who was your backup center?
They really didn't play without a center. P.J. Tucker was one of your backup centers.
No,
they rotated a lot of their fours into five roles.
This team right now, when you run out Hartenstein and Gary Clark, and they're pulling 6 rebounds and putting up less than 8 points a game per 36, you don't have the kind of depth at the center position that they had. Last year, when Nene was hurt, you could still run Tarik Black. He wasn't going to give you a lot of points, but you know what he did do? He protected the rim. And right now, people are absolutely abusing Hartenstein. And Clark. It's just not even close. And they're getting out-rebounded, and it looks bad.
I will say, I mean, I don't...
They miss his depth. Absolutely.
I mean, look, I mean, it's your opinion, and that's cool. Here's what I would say. I would say that if you put Tarik Black in this roster right now, mm-hmm. they definitely look like a deeper team. I will say that.
They're better defensively.
They're a better team. Is that the missing piece? I don't know. I don't think that's even close.
No, this team needs depth all the way around. Like I just said, they're missed with Trevor Ariza and Luke and Bamute off this team. You've replaced one of them with Ennis. The problem is the other guys you got aren't picking up that slack, offensively or defensively.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true down low. They have literally nobody after Clint Capella. Nobody. And that's why PJ Tucker has the second most minutes on this team, because he's having to play down low. He didn't have the kind of minutes that he's playing this year. He's averaging almost like 34 a game, 36 a game. Yeah, he played that many minutes last year because they were deeper, because they had guys like
Tarik. He's shooting the absolute lights out from the corner.
Absolutely.
And so he stepped up big in that role. But the big thing, and I'm going to leave Tarik Black lie. But,
no, I mean, make your point. No, if you disagree, I don't care if you disagree.
I just don't think it's a center's league anymore. I think you could say, is it a factor from year to year? Absolutely. And they need depth at the five, because Nene has proven he's got nothing left in the tank. I don't know what they're expecting except for the fact they're doing him a solid by keeping him around, and maybe because all of this hoping he's healthy for the playoff stuff has been
thrown out
the
window. Well, they gave him that 3-year contract. So,
but you look at it overall. And what you had to do was you had to say, look, you didn't want Ryan Anderson. He was a bad fit. He was too expensive. All that, agreed. You didn't want to pay Trevor Ariza because he was 15 a year. That's too much. Agreed. You didn't want Luke and Bamute. He didn't want to be here because he had a chance, and then he turned it down to go elsewhere. Fine, go. But replace them with like players with similar skill sets. What they didn't do was they didn't go out and get the kind of guys that can shoot the ball, that can put the ball in the basket, that can play the style of play that Mike D'Antoni plays on a night-in, night-out basis, and on the other side of the ball. They don't defend the way those guys defended either.
Yeah.
And that's a bigger deal, because now Bezdelic's back, so that's not an excuse anymore.
Do you think that they thought they went out and got those kind of guys, though, with all the moves they
made?
You
know what I thought? I think they thought they could make them into those kind of guys. They think because you bring in a guy from a system that's never played this way before, never got that many open shots because Paul and Harden are going to create and demand so many double teams, that instead of having to take contested threes, which is probably why they could say your percentage was down a little bit, you're going to get butt naked, wide open. You can time you with a calendar, take as long as you want to get it off. off kind of threes. That's why Gordon's numbers have suffered so much. And you look at his numbers when he's a starter, he's averaging over 20 points a game. Coming off the bench, and again, a lot of those are factored in when you're dealing with Carmelo, but coming off the bench, it's like 13 points a game. That's a 7-point swing from a guy that is a huge, major contributor to when you are successful offensively and everything you run systematically. The biggest thing you can look, you just look at it and you go, just even on just on paper, they don't have the depth like you said, but their bench is the worst bench in the league. I wrote about it and I thought, you know, I was trying to be nice and I said of the contending teams, it's probably the worst overall bench in the entire league. When Daniel House comes in from the G League and you think he's just going to be a body in that emergency situation and he's playing major minutes. And Gary Clark, God bless him, because he could turn out to be a player. But Gary Clark,
he's not done nothing after the first couple of weeks.
An undrafted kid from Cincinnati is getting a lot of run.
You know what it's like to me? They went out and got poor man versions of everybody they had last year that has lost or moved on. They've got a poor man version of Gerald Green in house now. Mm-hmm. They got a poor man version of Ryan Anderson and Hartenstein. I mean, they want him to shoot those threes, though.
Yeah, they shouldn't even be put. Hartenstein, if he's anything, they're trying to make him into the big that you're talking about.
Sure they are, but he's a power forward. And here's the other point about Tark Black is he allowed them to run the same style of offense. Like, he ran the pick and roll. You could throw it. He's not shooting anything, but they allowed him to play kind of that inside out, set the wings. They don't have that when Capella's not on the floor right now. The offense is a different dynamic. If you think P.J. Tucker is going to be your low post, throw it up, alley-oop guy, where's your three-point corner shot coming from?
He allowed them
to play the same style of offense when Capella wasn't on the floor, and they also are missing that this year.
To that point, people sleep on the fact he had NBA experience.
Tark Black?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
With multiple teams.
He was with the Rockets, then he went to LA, then he came back.
Yeah. He knows that you have to be able to understand the system on both ends of the floor. One of the other things that's really stunting the growth of this team, aside from everything we've talked about, is all these young guys we're talking about, it's a huge eye-opener when they realize there are plays being called on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
There are responsibilities and sets being called when you're on defense. They're not used to that. They didn't run those in college. They don't know how to react to that. And then you see the frustration of Harden. Why? Because his turnovers go up, and he's taking it from the media because his turnovers go up. But part of the reason why his turnovers are going up is because he doesn't have chemistry. The young guys don't know where they're supposed to go.
He doesn't trust anybody.
And then on top of that, he doesn't have the reliable shooters he had a year ago. When he does pass the ball, he knows they're going to be in the spot to catch it and they're going to make it. That's not happening.
This is what's crazy. And we talk about depth listen to the minutes per game for this team right now. Harden is at 37.4. Second on the team is P.J. Tucker at 36.1. Third is Chris Paul at 34.7, albeit in less games. Fourth is Capella at 34.5. Eric Gordon is playing 33.3. Your first five guys are averaging at least 33 to 34 minutes a game. That's a lot to ask of anybody. And then after that, you've got, Carmelo, but then you've got Ennis at 26, and that's it. Nobody else has more than 20 minutes a game that they're averaging because they lack the depth.
Clark is getting 17
and Green is getting 16 when healthy.
Remember we used to bitch about Montrezl Harrell, but you know what that tells you?
Oh, boy, they missed.
But you know what that tells you, too? D'Antoni doesn't trust those other guys, which is why he even takes a guy. And everybody that I've talked to said...
Well, he swung and missed on that though, didn't
they? With Chris.
How good would this team be right now with Montrezl Harrell?
Oh, it'd be better. But you don't have Chris Paul because he was part of the deal.
Yeah.
And they needed the salary. But they threw the salary in because they knew D'Antoni wasn't going to play him. But now, and Nick, you've seen this. They tried Marcus Chris, and they realized he doesn't want to work. He's lazy. But he's a big body, and maybe he could do it. And then that didn't work, so they pulled him. And in the second half, they put Hartenstein in, and he keeps experimenting. But he's experimenting with Daryl's pieces, not guys that he knows and trusts can play his system. So there's a disconnect between the GM and the coach.
It's no secret what this problem is. The problem is depth. And I like one of the tweets from a competing station, but Adam Spolling had a great tweet. And he's like, look at the situation on the floor. You're down, 20, 25 points, whatever the case may be. And MCW is not on the floor. Why is he on the roster if you can't put him in the rotation at this point? He's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. Why at this point, he shouldn't even be on the team. I expect him to be one of the first victims If not, you know, second or third victim,
when comes trade.
No, when they start considering roster moves. I think he's one of the guys that you get rid of. But
fellas, I'm gonna tell you this, Nick. Didn't they already say
they weren't gonna? Because he came over in the deal with Knight, right?
No, that was Chris.
Oh yeah,
Chris
yeah,
and Knight came together, that, yeah. And they're gonna. Chris is definitely a salary that they're gonna and use.
They're not gonna. They didn't exercise his option.
That's for next year. But for this year, they're gonna trade him before the deadline. They're gonna use him as a piece that way. But Nick, this is the thing. And I tweeted about this last night because somebody asked me about this, and with that very Michael Carter Williams subject and matter. Daryl is enamored with lottery picks. And if you're a lottery pick, he thinks that there is untapped potential that is going to someday get you to a level that you can play in the NBA. Look at Hashim Thabeet. Look at Johnny Flynn. Look at Michael Carter Williams. Look at Chris. Look at all these Thomas Robinson. He went and got these guys not because he knew that from a resume standpoint, these guys were big-time college players, lottery picks in the draft. That doesn't mean they can play. And so now you're putting square pegs in round holes by trying to get a guy to do things he's not either comfortable doing or, in the case of Michael Carter Williams, he can't do. He can't shoot. I always kid about the 25-letter alphabet, but most of their bench has a 24-letter alphabet. There's no D in it and there's no J in it. They can't shoot. They don't defend. And you're a 3-and-D team.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad sign when they put MCW and the entire bench with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
That white flag was bad.
That was over.
I was like, wow, I know the game is out of hand and they're down by 20 points but geez.
Yeah. Here's the thing, it's not like, but I do understand from that point. Yeah, I know we got to get to break. But I do understand from the standpoint of these guys are already tired enough. You're down 20. Why wear these dudes out?
Give them a break. But when you look at it and you look at everything that happened with it, the good news is there's still time to change. But Daryl just has to admit, this roster wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Between now and the trade deadline, the time is now to start trying to make moves to change it up.
The time is now to go to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Oh, my goodness. This food is amazing. You guys are going to love this. If you have not been to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen yet, I need you to stop what you're doing, pull over if you're driving, punch yourself in the face, and then make it a point to get out there this week and try this food. Guys, this is one of the best restaurants in the city of Houston, hands down, regardless of how expensive some of these fancier places are. Man, I'm telling you, this food is amazing, and you're going to love it. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food, which means you've got your choices of like chicken fried steak or chicken curry. You can get the lamb vindaloo, or you can get the Himalayan heat burger. You can get wings and sliders. You can get some of the best buttered chicken in the city of Houston. And I'm going to be honest with you, because I always am when I talk about the companies I represent, I was not a fan of Indian food. I had tried it one time a while back, and I did not like it. And then somebody suggested I get out to Cowboys and Indians and try it and that they would convert me. And I didn't believe it. And then I got out there and Haas was like, man, just try this butter chicken. It was amazing. And then he's like, try this lamb vindaloo. It was amazing. And he keeps giving me different Indian food that I've never tried. And there's been nothing I haven't liked yet. I know that's going to be the same thing for you. And I'll make it easier for you. Since they're having their 2-year anniversary right now, if you don't even want to go eat, you just want to have it delivered, use promo code TASTYDELIVERY and Uber Eats will bring you Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen for free. And make sure on Mondays and Tuesdays you order from the Indian side of the menu. You'll save 30% for a limited time. I'll say it again. Order from the Indian side of the menu on Mondays and Tuesdays. Save 30% for a limited time because of their 2nd-year anniversary as a way to say thank you. 1901 Taft in Midtown. CNI713 on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the final segment of hour number one of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride. If you'd like to join the show, phone line is open, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. You guys have been great already. in getting in on some of the discussions.
So I know we're a bit behind, and but I want to get to some of these texts about rockets, and then I'll work backwards to some of the stuff that didn't. But somebody said, I think they're also missing out on Joe Johnson. He'd sure up that bench. At least he was another shooter off the bench. I don't know when he first started. It's not a great. But once he got comfortable, he shot a little bit better. Only thing worse than the Rockets is Nick's Thanksgiving song selection.
It was pretty bad.
Pretty bad? Come on.
That's not an understatement. That's fair.
It wasn't the Rockets disaster? Missed Tark Black take bad, but it was. They have to trade for Otto Porter at the very least to add wing depth. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. Anything would be better. They need Montrezl Harrell back. That dude is killing it this year. Go
yes,
Cards.
Yes, he is.
That was from Dakota. Uh-oh. Barry's talking bad about the Rockets. Cue Kurt Lowe in 3-2. Nope.
Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Barry? You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? You homosexual hater too, man? Because I'm going to get on that too, man.
Somebody texted him. You're such a dick. That took a second to register.
That was pretty good. Normally, you're right on that. That was dope.
That was. Somebody asked about Kyle Tucker. I promise you, we'll get to your text at some point in hour number two. So hang tight on that. And then somebody said, "I won't call today, but I'm on that crack and Kool-Aid again. If the Colts get Le'Veon Bell, the Texans can say bye to having a chance at winning the division in the near future." I'm not going to say that the Colts win it every year. The Steelers had their moments where they did well, but they also, the Bengals would surprise them on occasion with Le'Veon Bell still on that lineup. And hey, and a top five quarterback and receiver as well. And the Texans are trending in that direction. That I'm not saying Watson's going to be a top five, but they have a serviceable QB wide receiver and with Deontay Foreman back, a serviceable backfield. But yes, I think the Colts would be a lot better because they're getting good O-line and defensive play. For sure.
There's a lot of good spots. Look, I wouldn't sleep on a good spot being the Texans. There's a lot of good spots for Le'Veon Bell. Green Bay, as I've said all along, is where I thought and obviously quietly hoped, but there's a lot of people will be in on that. The price is going to dictate a ton of it, and especially if he wants to play with a good team, and he doesn't want to take less, but good teams normally have quite a bit of salary on their books because of having good players already. So the Colts might be, by process of elimination on that way of thinking, in a better position because aside from Andrew Luck, they don't have a lot of huge contracts.
No, they're definitely in a good position to make it happen. That's for sure. Yep. If that's something that they wanted to do. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams that's part of the problem is you look at the 49ers. We talked about them as being a possible option as well. But you have to have the cap space as well. It's not just the need. You can't just say, well, here, show me a list of all the teams that need a running back. It also has to work. From a salary cap perspective as well. And a fit.
Yeah, that's
and
what I'm
a
saying.
Fit. So.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, that's something that you just have to take into consideration. And from a Texans perspective, as good as he might be as a fit here, when you have to pay Clowney, when you're paying JJ, mm-hmm. when you have all the contracts that are already on the books, it's more difficult. It's more challenging.
Someone texted and said, "I'm suing you, Barry. I pulled over, punched myself in the face. Then someone hit me from behind, and now I'm broken. I'm hiring Joel to hammer you. Show me the money." That was from Atom. A-T- I have to say the T, because
yep.
if I say Adam, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, A-T-O-M, Adam. Good solid text there. And then we've got long questions coming
show?
In. Huh?
How's that guy not sponsoring our show?
I don't know. We've got several long questions, but we're going to run out of time here, so I don't want to do them a disservice.
I actually did a lot of lawn and garden after the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I like it. I haven't done anything in a while. Somebody wanted to know, how can I get Jerry's picks, Jerry Bowe's picks?
Sports
well,
map.
Go to SportsMap. He does his bookie busters on SportsMap. You can also follow him on Twitter. What is his? I got to pull up his Twitter again. I don't know it offhand. I am pulling it up right. It's Jerry Bowe Knows with a Z. So he's Hood. He's Hood. It's J-E-R-R-Y-B-O-K-N-O-W-Z. Jerry Bowe Knows on
Jerry's
Twitter.
Got that street experience.
But yeah, but definitely hit up sportsmap.com. He does his bookie busters, and that's some of the best stuff you can get. Without a doubt. And also, speaking of the best stuff you can get, jewelry for the holidays for your woman is where it's at. If you want to make your wife happy, I promise you, you can get flowers on occasion and get candy on occasion. Women love jewelry, and you like to hang on to your money, which is why you need to get with Klein's Fine Jewelry. Call my guy, Mark Klein. He hooked me up, man. Even before he approached us about wanting to run ads and talk to me since I was a customer, I just went to the guy because I knew. I remember, guys, before I got on the radio, I used to listen to John and Lance for years. And I would always hear them talk about Mark Klein and Klein's Fine Jewelry. So when it came time for me to save some money and get my wife a 10-year anniversary ring, guess where I went? I went to Klein's Jewelry. He saved me literally thousands of dollars on the diamond. I bought the diamond by itself, and then my wife had an idea of the ring she wanted made, and Mark Klein and his crew made the custom ring to her exact specifications. It looked amazing. She's happy. And look, I don't even have to buy a Christmas gift this year because I was like, man, that ring, as good as I did, I'm off the hook for at least 1 year on buying any other present. And Mark Klein, I'll do the same for you. Let me give you a cell phone number. This is just straight out of my contacts on my phone. This is his cell phone number, 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. Call Mark Klein at Klein's Jewelry. He will quote you over the phone. If you're at one of those big box stores that's ripping you off with all the overhead and you're not sure how much you should be paying or could pay for a diamond, a bracelet, pendants, earrings, watches, whatever it is, call him at 832-316-1388. He will quote you his price over the phone. Then you just drive out there to Westheimer, 5868 Westheimer, and get it and save money. It's that simple. They've been around since 1969. It's a family business. They take care of their customers. They take care of ESPN listeners. Give them a call, 832-316-1388, or go online for more information, KleinsJewelry.com. That's KleinsJewelry.com.
ESPN 97.5. Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.